Morning, good to see you. I'd like to welcome you to the first Sunday worship service of 2020. We made it. You're here. Hope your last week or so has been good. I was in Texas for a while. I had a good visit with some family. Got back this last week. Thought it'd be a good kind of relaxation slash write a sermon week. And then I got sick. And I was like, oh, man, I don't want to do anything except lay around. I hate that feeling. So I'm on my second round of medicine this morning, powering through. We should make it. We made it through first service. Here we go. So we're talking about hearing God speak to us. Ben talked about that last week. Today is part two. And so here's why we decided to focus on this idea of how do you hear God speaking to you? Look, whatever happened in 2019 and whatever comes to you in 2020, there is one thing that will make it actually all okay, and that is hearing God speak to you. Because it's not just that you hear his voice, it's an amazing thing. Because when God speaks, it's also his presence, it's his power, it's his provision. It's all wrapped up in him speaking to us. So God gives direction when we're lost. He'll give comfort when your heart is breaking. He'll give you direction when correction when you're off his path. He'll give you a bigger perspective when your limited perspective is pushing all your buttons and frustrating you and driving you crazy. That's why it's so important that we understand and we're practicing, how am I now? Okay, this week, this day, Lord, how am I hearing your voice? It's part of our daily walk with him. It's a vital part of understanding what is God's big plan for your life. And that is why it makes everything okay. Regardless of what you're going through, if you can hear God's voice speaking to you, it'll all be okay. So here's my goal today. It's pretty simple. I want to help you understand six different ways that God speaks to people, and then hopefully give you some inspiration to put yourself in the right spot to hear him speaking to you. So that's the plan. To get us going, I got a question for you to think about for your own life. In what ways or in what areas do you need to hear God speak to you? Most people have an answer to that. Like, oh, I need an answer in this area. I got this relationship. I've got these circumstances. I've got like a big life transition coming. I need to hear God. I want to hear God speak to me in these ways. I mean, what's your answer? You could write it down. You could kind of lock into your brain. And you should be looking for and expecting God to speak to you. God wants to speak to his children. He wants his children to hear his voice. I heard this great quote this last week from A.W. Tozer, where he says that God's voice is a friendly voice. You don't need to be afraid of God speaking to you unless you've already determined that you're going to disobey him, which I thought was pretty interesting. Unless I'm already deciding, oh, I'm not going to do what you want, then if you already decide that, then you're afraid he's going to speak. You're like, oh, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I'm going my own way. But if you're like, God, I want to hear. I want to follow. I want to be obedient. Boy, God loves to speak to his people when they have that kind of an attitude. So today, like I said, is part two. Ben covered part one last week. And the four foundational ways that Ben covered to hear God speak are only going to be built upon this week. So last week, he covered the Bible, meditation, prayer, and solitude. So the Bible is the foundation for us understanding and hearing God speak. Our meditation is on the Bible. It's how we understand it and allow him to speak to our hearts. Often prayer is even foundationally based upon what God says in the scriptures. And our solitude, like when they were just singing that song about going to the secret place and connecting with the Lord, the word of God should frame the conversations that we're having with God in those places. It all hinges on the Bible. So we're not looking for God to speak new revelation to us. He's given us plenty of revelation in the Bible, but it's his revelation in the Bible. It's the Bible coming to our lives and applying the scriptures. That's how he speaks to us. That's what we should be expecting. So before we jump into these six different ways that I'm going to explain today, let's go to him in prayer. And I thought what I'd do here is I modeled a prayer infusing some scripture, because we should pray scripture when we pray. So I fused together John 10, 2 Timothy 3, and Hebrews 1 into this prayer. Some of you will recognize some of those places. They're familiar places in scripture. So let's pray now and ask him to speak to us before we jump in. So Jesus, you said that your sheep will listen to your voice and follow you. And so here we are today. We want to listen, we want to follow. What do you want to say to us? Please use your word to teach, rebuke, correct, and train us in righteousness today. We want to be thoroughly equipped by you for the work you've called us to. So what equipping do we need? And we open ourselves up to you right now to discern our thoughts and discern the intentions of our hearts. Use your living and active word to make us more like Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so it's all structured around how can we hear God speak. And the first way we're going to look at, the first way of six today, is that we hear God speak to us through worship. And obviously we do this every week when we're here together, worshiping God. We hopefully are doing that throughout our weeks in whatever environments and places that you might worship God. Jesus taught us in John 4, 23, he said, "But the hour is coming and now is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." So this verse is saying that your heavenly Father is actually seeking your worship. He longs for it. It's a vital part of being in relationship with him. And when you're in relationship with him, you will hear God speaking to you as you worship him. It's not just singing the words that are on the screen. Something else ought to be happening in our hearts and in our minds. Here's an example from Scripture, Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers." So we got some prophets, we've got some teachers in this church in Antioch. You'll know some of their names for sure: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a lifelong friend of Herod, and Saul. So there they are. You've got some teachers, you've got some prophets. They're in this church in Antioch. "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting," I'm not going to talk about fasting today, but that's another way you can hear the Lord speak to you. "While they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them.' Then after fasting and prayer, they laid their hands on them," meaning they laid their hands on Barnabas and Saul, "and then they sent them out." So do you see that? While they were, these early church leaders were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke to their hearts. And the world was changed because of it. Because sending out Barnabas and Saul on the first missionary journey led to then the second and third missionary journeys of planting and starting churches in Asia Minor and Europe, which then took the gospel and spread it around the world. And it all started because they were worshiping and fasting, and the Holy Spirit, just like it says in John 4, the Father is seeking people who will be worshiping him in spirit and truth. They were doing that, and God's like, "Oh, here's some people right here that I can use to do some amazing work. You are worshiping me right now. Now let me download some plans into your hearts. I want you to send some people out to change this world." And that's what they did. Let me give you an example from my own life. Throughout this sermon, I'll try to illustrate these things from a few of the experiences from my own life. When I was in my 20s, I was working at a church as an intern in the student ministries, and we had a retreat weekend going on, and my job was to move the lyrics on the screen. So this was back when they actually used overhead projectors for the lyrics, okay? So I was backstage. They had a big center screen. I'm behind the stage on this scaffolding, sliding the lyrics along so that they're in like a good spot so everybody can sing along, right? The whole room's filled with like hundreds of teenagers. And we're worshiping. I'm worshiping. I'm singing along as we're going. Everybody else is worshiping. And the song that came on, one of the songs was "And Can It Be," right? So we used the old lyrics of a Charles Wesley hymn and put it to a modern rendition. And the lyrics are, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain." So it's saying, I caused his pain, but yet he died for me. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst, don't you, ever wish we could say words like that in newer songs, right? Shouldst die for me. I don't think that's even a real word. And then it keeps going, right? And then it kind of repeats, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Now, these were not new. We'll leave these words up here for a second. Look, those are not new words or concepts for church-going people. I knew this concept, right? I grew up in the church. I was an intern. I knew this. This is basic stuff. But man, God spoke to me in a very personal way that day. And here's how and why. See, I'd been messing around with some sin. And although I knew I should stop, I was a bit conflicted. At times, I didn't want to stop, and at other times, I actually had tried to stop and was unsuccessful, right? I'm like living a double life. Intern at the church, secret sinner. Intern of the church, secret sinner. I felt conflicted, guilty. I felt like a failure. Now, when God spoke to me, he used the words of this song in a very personalized way. He's like, Sean, I love you with an amazing love. You will never behave in such a good way that you will deserve it. In fact, you, Sean, you caused my pain when I died for you on the cross, and I still loved you then, and it is an amazing love for you. And man, as I heard God speak to me, The truth of that, I felt his love pour into my heart. It was such a powerful message. I am bawling my eyes out. Grateful that I'm backstage and no one can see me. And that message of love, it changed me. See, I had tried to stop doing sinful things with my own willpower because I felt like I ought to just stop it. And in that moment of experiencing and hear God's love and hearing him say to me, Sean, I have amazing love for you. His love for me was actually more glorious and more spectacular than all those sinful things that I'd been messing around with. And in that moment, I felt like God was saying, Sean, why do you even want to dabble with that? And I'm like, I don't. I just want you. I want your amazing love more in my heart. And it changed me in that moment as he spoke to me. You should expect God to speak to you as you worship him. Because you're allowing those biblical truths that are put into these worship songs to connect with your heart. It's a wonderful way to hear God speak. That's the first one. Here's the second one. Second way you can hear God speak to you is through godly counsel. So the Bible gives dozens of instructions on how we should be listening to godly counsel, seeking out godly counsel, because we need the perspective, experience, and maturity of other people to try to figure out and discern, okay, what's God's will in this situation? So it could be a friend, a spouse, a parent, a pastor, could be a stranger even. So here's a couple of verses that speak about this in the scripture. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Look, the way we're going in life always looks right to us. That's why we go that way. What the scriptures are saying is, yeah, but you're often a fool when you go that way, even though it looks right. So the wise man listens to advice. Because somebody else can look at your life and say, well, that may look right to you, but that's actually a horrible path. Don't go down that path. Proverbs 19 tells us, listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So the biblical instruction, if I could just summarize it about going to and getting godly counsel, is this. Go to people. Explain your situation to them, and then you need to listen with an open mind to what they would offer you. And then you always confirm it with, like, the Word of God. That's a very important thing. They could be giving you all kinds of advice, and yet you're like, I don't think that actually lines up with Scripture. All right, well, then throw that advice out. So there's two approaches, unhealthy, that I've noticed that people tend to take with godly counsel. One, they don't seek it at all. And the second is they seek it too much. If a person is not seeking godly counsel, what you're doing is you're attempting to make all of your decisions about your life by yourself. You're like, well, I can just basically make all these decisions on my own. And you'd feel a little guilty by saying that probably, so you would add in the phrase, well, it's me and God. We just kind of make all of our decisions. The person who seeks it too much is a person who just keeps going, like, can you give me some advice? Can you give me some advice? Can you give me some advice? You're just asking everybody for all kinds of advice about all kinds of things, but you're never doing anything with it. See, the biblical model is, okay, go to some people, explain your situation, and then listen with discernment. Will God speak to you through that advice? Does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with your times of prayer with the Lord? And then act. So here's an example about how it was really important to me in my own life about a time seeking godly counsel. When I was falling in love with my wife, Cassie, I sought the wise counsel of my three closest friends at that time about whether or not I should marry her. Why? Because often it's difficult to hear God's voice when your emotions are surging and romance is in the air. Right? So I needed the wise perspective of some other people. So I went to Mike, who was in his 40s with three kids. I went to Hertzian, who was in his 30s, no kids, married, but was from Holland. Fascinating perspectives that he brought to all kinds of conversations. And I went to my roommate, Phil, who was in his 20s. Those three guys were like my closest friends in seminary. I said, guys, listen, I need to ask your advice. Here's what's going on. They, of course, knew Cassie. They had seen us dating. They spent time around us. I said, I'm thinking that the Lord wants me to marry her. What do you think? That's what I said. What do you think? I need your input. I need your advice. And they spent, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes chiming in on what they had seen in our relationship, qualities that they had seen in Cassie, qualities that they saw in both of us that made a good connection. And, you know, the sort of the summary of it was, they said, we think you guys would make an amazing couple together. And that agreed with what I thought the Lord wanted. But I didn't want to just rush into something and then, you know, have my closest friends be thinking, yeah, I don't really know that that's a good idea. I'm not really sure Sean should do that with her. I wish Sean would ask us about that. We have some wisdom to speak into that. I wanted to know those things. And their counsel only aligned with my times of even praying to the Lord and asking him, Lord, you know, what do you think? At our wedding day, it was such a great affirmation of their support and validation to us as a couple to have them pray over us. My closest friends, celebrating our union. See, maybe somebody else has a message to give you. And all you have to do is ask them. And God will give you his godly counsel and speak his will to your life through somebody else. You should expect God to speak to you through godly counsel. That's the second one. Here's the third. The third way we can hear God speak to us is through creation. We have, obviously, in Colorado, great access to his creation, right? The mountains, the trees, the creeks, the rocks. I mean, it's awesome. Obviously, if you go even a little ways into the mountains, you can start seeing the beauty of the stars as well. That's what Psalm 19 references and ties in together, being able to hear God speak to us through creation. Psalm 19, 1 through 2. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech. See what that says? Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. See, God has put his power and his wisdom on constant display for anyone to see it and hear him speaking to them in so many different ways. Here's a really cool example that I ran across back in December. We've got some close-up pictures here of some snowflakes. Now, did you know that every snowflake is unique? How many of you knew that? I'm just curious. How many? Yeah, see, you Coloradans, you guys know a lot about snow, all right? Did you also know that every time it snows, my driveway needs to be shoveled? Now, look, I'm just messing around. I did not know that every snowflake was unique. I've not grown up around snow. I don't really know a lot about snow. So these are some close-up images of snowflakes that were taken. I mean, look at how diverse they are. They're not even close to the same, right? I mean, that is crazy. That one looks like the shield of, isn't that that top left one? Isn't that like a Superman shield or something? One looks like a barbell. I mean, what is this? These things, they fall from the sky and then they melt. Every one unique. Does anybody think, well, it's kind of a waste? They just melt. It becomes water. And yet, God has designed it in his world. He's like, oh, no, watch this, people. I'm going to make every single one of those snowflakes that falls, I'm going to make every one of them unique and distinct and different. And you won't even know it, except that you can do like zoomed in photography. Now, how does God speak through that? There are probably dozens of ways that he could speak. What came to my mind when I ran across this was that, okay, wow, that's fascinating. That reminded me of Psalm 139, where it says, "For you formed my inward parts and knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." See, God's word says that every single one of us individually, we are unique. He knits us together with intentionality and design, just like he puts on display in every snowfall, filled with unique diversity. And that's a profound message of value that he places on his creation. Now look, at some point, and I think throughout your weeks and months, you should be expecting God to speak to you through his creation as we're experiencing all of the beauty and the splendor of what God has created. That's the third way that God can speak to us. Here's the fourth. God can speak to you through circumstances. Now, circumstances is a fun one because when people claim to hear God speaking to them through circumstances, I always try to caution them to test those circumstances with a lot of other evidence. God's word being foundational, some meditation, some prayer, some solitude, some wise counsel, because circumstances are very mysterious. It's often only in hindsight that we can look back on circumstances and say, oh, look, God was moving. Because when you're going through it, circumstances, they can seem random. They can seem confusing. Circumstances alone are by far the most mysterious way that God speaks to people, but he does speak through circumstances. Just imagine a scenario. I'm sure you've never heard of anything quite like this, but imagine a person says, you know, I feel like God is telling me it's okay to buy a brand new truck, and here's why. I just drove by the dealership, and the exact color and model that I wanted is there on the lot ready to be bought. So there you go. Clearly God is leading me through his circumstances to buy the new truck, even though I can't afford it, right? See, sometimes, here's the tricky part with circumstances. We're actually just trying to manipulate our will and say it's God's will because of these things lining up. That's not what we want to do. We're actually trying to discern with wisdom, here's what's happening. Wow, could God be leading and moving and speaking to me in this way, right? There's lots of examples of God speaking through circumstances. I'll give you two. In Exodus, God used the circumstances of the 10 plagues to get Pharaoh's attention to let his people go. Now, he also used the words of Moses to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh was ignoring the words, so God added the circumstances. Another fascinating example is in Acts chapter 16. And in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are on the second missionary journey that Paul took, and God speaks to them through circumstances. This is one of my favorite places in Scripture because it's so mysterious. I'm going to move back so you guys can see. Now check it out. I got my laser pointer here today. All right, we're going to show a little bit. I love this laser pointer. This thing shoots so far. Sometimes I just come up here like when it's dark, and I just like point this thing like across the street, and I'm like, how far can that be? This goes further than I can see with my own eye. I think that's why it has like a danger label on it. But the print is so small, I can't read it, which I think that means that I'm off the hook. So I won't shine in your eyes. I think that's what it says. All right, so check this out. Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, describe a scenario, and I'm going to show it here on the screen. So as Paul and Silas went through Phrygia and Galatia, so they're down here, and they were preaching and they were visiting churches, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So that's interesting, isn't it? They were here preaching. Well, they thought, well, why don't we just keep like traveling through this region and like preaching the gospel? And the scriptures say the Holy Spirit forbid them from preaching in this region. That is interesting. That's somehow circumstances blocking them from preaching in this region. We don't know why exactly, but we know a circumstance happened. Then, so here's what happens. And they had come up to Mysia. So Mysia is like right here. So we don't know the exact route they took, but basically they were prevented from preaching. So like, well, we don't want to backtrack. We can't preach through here, so I guess we'll just keep traveling. Can we preach here? Nope. Can we preach here? Nope. Can we preach here? Nope. All right, now they're up here. Now they can either go left or right. So they thought, well, maybe we'll just go to the right. Maybe we'll do that. And instead, they attempted, it says in Scripture, to go to Bithynia, which is over here, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. That's fascinating again, right? So he's blocking them here. He's blocking them here. So they go up, and then he's like, well, I guess we'll just go down to Troas. So they kind of hug the coast. They landed in Troas. Now, verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia is in this vision. He's standing there, and he's urging Paul and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel over there. Is that fascinating or what? Like, that is some cool stuff. God used some kind of circumstance to block them from going into and preaching to the places in Asia. They probably would have been pretty content, just keep preaching and plant some churches. And yet, no, Spirit says, nope, you're not going to do that. Put them on the coast so he's perfectly positioned to get a vision from somebody from Macedonia and say, oh, go over there. They sail over to Greece. That was the first time the gospel was taken into Europe. And God was setting the whole thing up, right? God was using circumstances to expand their work. Look, in your lives, you've got people around you that are a circumstance, right? Your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, your in-laws, those are all people that have entered your life because you got into a place and then they're just kind of there, right? It's a circumstance. A lot of times, like, we're facing a circumstance and we're like, man, this thing right here is driving me crazy. It's blocking my way. It's frustrating me. So we try to get godly counsel to get rid of that circumstance. Sometimes we're like, we start praying about that circumstance. Sometimes we try to use our money to fix it. And all the while, God's like, yeah, if you would just listen to me, I'm going to speak to you right now, because that circumstance that I'm using to block your way is actually redirecting your way into another spot, in another way. So tune in and listen to me speak to you. You should be looking for God to speak to you and use you through the circumstances that are happening in your life, because he's always working around you. That's the fourth way. Here's the fifth. The fifth way you can hear God speaking to you is through obedient actions. Obedient actions. Now, I find this to be a really fascinating one, because here's what I see often. I've seen it in my own life, and I've certainly seen it in other people's lives, right? We get really focused on wanting to hear God speak to us in a specific area, right? It's a relationship. It's a difficulty. It's a circumstance we want to change. And so we're praying about it. We're thinking about it. We're searching the scriptures to talk about it. Meanwhile, we're not actually acting in obedience to a bunch of other things that God has really clearly laid out to us. Anybody relate to that? We're like, well, and that's not a good way to live, is it? God has clearly laid out a bunch of very obvious things to us. We know them. We're like, yeah, I'm actually not interested in those things. Here's what I actually really want to know from you, God. I want to know this. And God is looking for people to act in obedience and follow his voice, where he leads and how he instructs. And as we do that, he will speak more to you. Deuteronomy 5:33 instructs us to walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. In John 10:27, Jesus said it this way, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." It does not say, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and sometimes they follow me, and then, but most of the time they kind of do their own thing." It doesn't say that, well, they go to church one day a week and then the other 6 days of the week they pretty much do whatever they want. It says they follow me. See, there's a biblical principle here that if you want to hear God speak to you, act in obedience to what he's already said. See, your obedience, it sets a trajectory in your life. Your obedience demonstrates that you will trust what he says each step of the way. You see, your obedience today will set you up for God to speak to you something fresh tomorrow. And sometimes, sadly, we get ourselves into a spot where we're like, man, God, this is the thing right here. Please speak about this. And boy, we're really passionate about it. And what happens a lot in my life is that the Lord will come up and he'll say, let's just put that one on pause for just a moment, Sean, because I've got a few other things that I've already spoken to you about that I'd like to readdress. Would you like to act in obedience to these things? Because remember, a sheep listens to the voice of our Father, and then we follow him. Hey, see, have you ever been... I think sometimes we make our relationship with God more complicated than it needs to be. A relationship with God is a relationship. And we've all been in relationships before where we feel like the relationship is just rehashing the same conversations over and over and over and over and over again. You don't feel like you're moving forward. This happens because someone in the relationship won't yield. Someone won't compromise or apologize. You're stuck, right? You're button heads. And see, that can happen to God as with us and God as well, because we refuse to act in obedience to what he's already told us. And see, when God speaks to us, how would you describe his expectation of what we do? Oh, I think he fully expects us to do what he says. I mean, imagine it, right? He's the God of the universe. And he says, here, I'd like for you to do this. And you're like, well, have you thought about these perspectives, God, on that particular issue? You're like, look, yes, I have, actually. I've thought about all of those. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Yeah, but actually, that's pretty expensive. I don't really think I've considered that option as well. Actually, yeah, but if I did that, what about the relational conflict that might come? Or like, yes, I've thought of that as well. I know it all, and I'm laying it out for you. And he fully expects us to obey him when he speaks to us. And we should expect, as he's speaking to us, and as he continues to speak to us, and then as we are obedient in our actions, that he will keep speaking to us wherever we are. Which brings us to the last one. It's the sixth way we can expect to hear from God, and this is the one where we should expect to have a changed character. This is a bit of a twist on it, because often when we're going to God asking for something, it's not changed character. We're actually asking for some tangible thing. Now, if you're really godly and spiritual, then when I asked the question earlier, what was the area or the place in your life where you'd really like God to speak to you right now? If you're really godly, you said, oh, I'd really like you to like change this part of my character. Most of us don't pray for that, though, honestly. We mostly say, well, I'd like this or this or this change or this circumstance, and it's just part of our growing process. But see, God's primary objective when he speaks to you, primary objective is to change you more than change your circumstances. That's what he's looking for. Because he is committed to remaking you and I to be like Jesus. That's why it says in 1 Peter 1:15 that we are called to be holy like Jesus is holy. And in Colossians 3:12, we're told to have compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And in Romans 12:2, we're told, all right, look, don't conform to this world anymore, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind to become more and more and more like your Savior Jesus. See, so many times in my life, when I've been talking to the Lord, seeking his will, seeking his direction, he's been silent about those things. Oh, but he's been very loud about changing me. And it's a bit of a puzzlement, really, that God uses the things we want him to change us. Like, oh, no, no, change this, God. Move that out of the way. He's like, no. I'm going to actually keep that right there, but watch this. I'm going to change you. Oh, I didn't expect that to come. He's like, yeah, but that's how I work. And see, God is using those difficult things to drive us into his loving arms. And when we're in his loving arms, he's chipping away at the old self, and the character and the nature of Jesus Christ starts to grow more and more. And we should expect that when God speaks to us, that he's going to be changing us, conforming us to be more like Jesus. So that's the sixth way. So there's six ways. Last week, Ben talked about four ways to hear God speak to you. And really, the decision is for you at this point is, do you want to put yourself in a position to hear him more this year? He longs to speak to you. Will you put yourself in the position? You can even start right now today as we take communion here together in a moment. Will you put yourself in a position of saying to the Lord, I want to hear you speak, and then look actively for him to be speaking in your life? That will change your 2020. It'll be awesome. And I hope that that is your experience. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together? God, the fact that you, as the creator of all things, not only save us, you work diligently to save us out of our sin and our death, but you also speak to us. You lead us, you guide us, you comfort us, you redirect us, you rebuke us. Lord, thank you for speaking. We need to hear your voice. As we come now to remember what you did for us on the cross, would you speak to us now? As we turn our attention and our minds and our ears to hear from you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.